Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness. Again, this is your host, Lauren, and you are listening to episode 86, Why Perfect Women Shrink, by Ona Holloway. And this episode is near and dear to my heart. And as you guys just heard, I am also a fellow recovering perfectionist. And our guest today, Ona, which we will hear all about her and her amazing story in today's episode, she is the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Ghost, Why Perfect Women Shrink. And I think this is a book that every woman needs to hear. And more on her book is that this book is going to show you why your pain is invisible to everybody else and why the struggle to be seen in your body has become your own battlefield. This speaks to the heart of so many women, especially the millennial women in our generation, of why good is not enough, and how being perfect leaves no space to be human, and how we all are suffering in silence, and we use our bodies and our health as a canvas to scream our pain while shrinking in a desperate bid to be visible. Iona and I talk about the book and what it means to be a recovering perfectionist and so much more on today's show. But before we get into the show, I just wanted to remind you guys that in today's episode is brought to you by Magnesium. Living the Good Life Naturally is my all-time favorite brand go-to for transdermal magnesium. Now, you guys might not know what that means, but I have a whole episode with the founder of Living the Good Life Naturally, Kristen Bowen, on episode 73. That's 73. If you want to hear all about magnesium and why using magnesium on your skin is the best way to get full absorption, head over to the link below and use code WICHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, to get 10% off your cart. Now, back to today's show. I'm so excited to share with you guys all about Iona's story and how she helps other women not to shrink. This book is about her story and the women she's worked with, and the story of how vulnerability will unlock your truth and set you free. And just a reminder that now is not the time to shrink, that this book won't heal you or this episode, but it will help you find the heart to heal. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and please let me know what you think. And if you guys resonate with this episode, share it, send it to your sister, send it to your mom, send it to your best friend, share it on social media, tag me in it. Please enjoy episode 86, Why Perfect Women Shrink, with Iona Holloway. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And this is a show you learn that your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And today, our beautiful guest, Iona Holloway, is a leading example of how your body is not in your way, but leading your way. A little bit of Iona before we start. She is an author, a coach, and a speaker. She helps women stop shrinking their bodies, worth, and power through vulnerability, creativity, and breathwork. She and her partner, Sean, live in Boston with our very clingy Shiba Inu and a cat Iona has never held, which I would like to hear more about that in a second. Her pets have taught her a lot about embodied trauma. You know, I can relate to that as well. And I am so excited to have you on the show today, talking all things perfectionism and stop playing small and showing up for ourselves in so many ways. Oh my gosh. Welcome to the show, Iona.
Thanks for having me, Lauren. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course. So, okay, before we hear the backstory, I need to hear, you know, this cat. You have never held your cat before?
Oh, I know. It's one of the great sadnesses of my life. We adopted Rue maybe 3 years ago now. And when we adopted her, she was a true shell of a cat, like barely made eye contact, would hide in the smallest of corners, barely ate, and didn't want to be picked up whatsoever. And a lot of that has healed. She's now loves being petted, loves snacks, loves everything, but just still have never picked her up. And I think it might just be the way she is, but a good example of that a lot of healing can be done with time and good care and kindness, but she's still got a wee ways to go.
Yeah, that's okay. We all do. It's never, there's never an end destination. There's always, it's always that journey. And I would love to hear what sparked your journey to write your book, which I didn't even mention, Ghost, Why Perfect Women Shrink. I love the title, and I would love to hear your story because I know so many of our listeners can relate to this.
Ghost came out just about a month ago. It came out in mid-January. And in a nutshell, I wrote this book for what I call high-achieving, struggling women, or the women who hide in plain sight. And I kind of call these women ghost women. And my origins are very much in that invisible struggle. I'm from Scotland. I grew up in Scotland and was the classic high achiever from the moment I kind of fell out of the womb. I was just good at things naturally, pick things up really quickly, teacher's pet, really great at sports, really creative and artistic. And over time, this story of Iona's so good, she's so perfect, she's so capable, just really started to wrap itself around me and become my identity. And I know that I don't know your full story, but I know we relate on a lot of things. And that experience of being good, becoming your identity when you're really young, the older you grow and you start bumping into the reality that you're not perfect, but still very much feeling like you have to keep that story alive and well. I call this the curse of competence, or being gaslighted by your gifts. These are the moments where we start to disappear. And I think for many, like what I call like talented girls, women who grow up gifted, at a certain point we feel like we're on our own, because we don't feel like we can admit any vulnerability. And for me, the pressure of being perfect manifested in expressing this pain physically, and that was through shrinking my body. And I think in Ghost, I talk about perhaps my first binge being at 11, but I feel like I was, the more I kind of learned of myself, I think I was dieting from about the age of 4. And over time, the shrinking was balanced out by these massive binges and this completely lack of control. And it was all very complicated as well, because within the structure of our societies, and I was also a competitive athlete representing my country, this war with my body in many ways was rewarded, reinforced by everyone watching. And I ended up leaving Scotland in 2009. I got recruited to play Division I field hockey at Syracuse University. And that only intensified the invisible struggle that I was in, because again, the work ethic, the perfectionism, working to the bone, training to the bone, shrinking to the bone, it was all very much part of what made me good. And it wasn't until my late 20s that it caught up with me and my body just started breaking. I'd broken pretty much like so many bones on the left-hand side of my body, or sprained things. And I also, it was at that point where I just couldn't go on another diet. Like I would start a diet, break the rules within a couple of hours. And in Ghost, I call this the reckoning. When your pain tolerance is so high, you have to get slammed on the floor. I say that about ghost women. Like you really have to be in a lot of pain for you to try a new way. And so I'm grateful in a way that I reached that point finally, because it really allowed me to face the reality of what of the life that I was living, which was a very small one. It felt big. It felt impressive. It was like there was lots of achievement and what I would call glitter, but it was pretty soulless. And it was only in breaking free from perfectionism, stopping dieting, learning how to be me in this world, the imperfect me in this world, that I really started to be a human. And it kind of pains me to say that it took me into like nearly the third decade of my life to figure that out, but it takes the time that it takes. And that's really the story of Ghost by Barefoot Woman Shrink. It's that story of all the invisible ways that high achieving women struggle and how that manifests physically.
Oh yeah. And I have to point out that you said you broke all these bones on the left side of your body, and which brought me to my next point. What I wanted to talk about was I find in myself and a lot of perfectionist minded women that are, you know, around our age, 20, 30 somethings, we almost put into this very masculine identity in a way, even though maybe we not project that way outwardly, but it's this go, 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 high achieving, solar all the time, no rest. Until, like you said, until you get really knocked off that horse. And it's so interesting how your body's not in the way, it's leading the way.
Totally. I think you're so right. I often think of it as like a very linear approach to everything. When like perfectionism and control and exertion, there's a direct endpoint. It's like, how fast can I walk in this straight line to get towards what I want? And again, like within the construct of a larger society that reinforces this, it's like, sure, work for your worth. Sure, shrink to the bone. Sure, don't show any weakness. Like all, we don't, I say this thing goes like, we know where the eyes go. We know what gets the attention. We know how to be validated in this world, except it's breaking us in two. But yeah, that sort of linear quality is something that over the last few years I've really been getting a lot more comfortable with the flow, like the undulation, the rest and the spaces. And there's no space when your identity is perfect, because space is dangerous, rest is dangerous. It's all an assault on our identity if we're not moving forward and being purposeful in that. There's a lot of fear attached to that, I think, for a lot of women who feel this way.
I totally relate. For me, it was my body breaking down because I ended up manifesting a very unhealthy relationship because of this perfectionism, because it was like, if I was married, if I had a house, if, you know, I was successful, if my partner was successful, then I'll be happy. And it's that very linear mindset. And then my body started breaking down in all sorts of just different ways where I was like, I would scream at my body, like internally and externally, could you just keep it together here? You know, it was not good self-talk whatsoever. But it led me to where I am today. And I'm like, seriously grateful for that relationship, that part of my life. I don't wish it upon anybody, as I'm sure you don't either. But it's like, when you can realize and look at those situations, that was this reckoning, right? As you said, and not as, you know, the world's not happening to us, it's happening for us to find out who we really, really are. And you have this beautiful saying that it isn't therapy, this is a reclamation. And I would love to dive into that topic. I think therapy and mental health is kind of, in our generation, at least from my seat, from my parents, it's a hot topic. Most people these days have therapists, which I think is great.
Oh yeah.
But totally. I know the self-work that you do and help people with, it's just like total mind, body, and soul. So could you please enlighten us how you help people?
Yeah, sure. And you're right. Like, I'll start by saying this. Anyone who takes any step towards understanding themselves better, whatever format that is, I'm in full support of it. Like, any work that we do to learn how to be a human being in this world, especially when I think our generation, definitely previous generations, these aren't skills. These, like, the soft skills of being a human aren't taught. Like, we almost have to break in order for us to learn them. And I'm really hoping that that's changing in schools, perhaps in families. But yeah, I want to start by saying, like, I'm all for therapy. Think it's great. Any step we can take is a good one. I talk about it being a reclamation because I see, or the work that I do being a reclamation because I see this as, it's like a movement. It's a full embodied experience of taking our power back. And I talk about the reclamation of our bodies, our worth, and our power. And again, we don't need to get trapped in the linear idea that, okay, I kind of figure out my body first and then I'll find my worth and then I'll find my power, whatever that means. But I find that these pillars are specific places where women shrink consistently. And to start with the body, I'm not even talking about, like, just small women here, just talking about the idea of us being at war and trying to change the way that our bodies look, shrinking to shape ourselves to fit into whatever it is we think will make us appropriate. It's the same with our worth. Like, worth can be so many things, but I see it as a volume thing. How quiet is your voice in your life? Be that in your relationships and what you feel safe asking for and what you feel safe talking about. In all those cases, just even like the relationship that you reference that you've been in, like all the places where your worth was shrunk to pretzel into what was appropriate. And then power, I think power can mean so many things, but for a lot of the women that I work with, and I believe that all women, I believe everyone is creative, but it's the reclamation of the freedom of your expression. So not just doing what you're told to do because that's an appropriate career to be following, or, oh, you can do that, but only on the weekends because that's frivolous and silly. It's the reclamation of ourselves in all aspects of our life. And I believe that if we hit on our physical bodies and coming home, if we hit on embodying more of our voice in the way that that appears in our life, and if these two elements give us access to our power, like, why are we even here, the space that we're able to take up, so that's the work I love to do. I love thinking about it as a full body experience. Because I think that so often, I always say this, my clients make fun of me, like, talk doesn't cook rice. It's like, we need to be put through a process of re-embodiment. And that's what I mean when I'm talking about a reclamation, because it's also within the context of, like I mentioned earlier, society. It's actually it's rediscovering our power. It's always here, but it's also taking it back from systems and structures and belief systems and everything that is telling us how to be. And the more that we can sink into our own body worth and power, the easier it is to reclaim that from where it's been taken from.
Beautiful. And I know I do a lot of this work as well myself, but getting to that subconscious belief and like how you beautifully just put it, I think a lot of people can become victims of, well, it was because of my mom or society, or my dad did this because he, you know, left us when I was young. And yes, those things happened. But as an adult, to find those subconscious beliefs, take responsibility for them getting you to where you are now and changing them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're empowered. We can do this work, such as working with Iona and reprogramming our bodies, minds, and souls. So I would love to hear, like, I know you also do a lot of embodiment and breath work and how you kind of couple that with, you know, subconscious work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love your point on that. And just even sort of echo back what you were sharing earlier about your experience of perfectionism with your body and with your relationship. Those to me, like relationship, body, these are symptoms. I always like to look at the symptoms of our lives, because so often these are the things that we try to spot fix. It's like, okay, well, I'll fix my body and then, or I'll fix my relationship or get the house and then. And what we don't realize is that, like, if this is the earth's surface, what we're seeing on the surface of our lives, the beliefs are the convection currents running underneath the surface, exploding out of volcanoes when we don't take care. Like, that's the reality. And so often we're stuck in our 3D worlds trying to put band-aids on things, when really what we need to do is sink below the surface and really understand, like you said, what those belief systems are, those core belief, core values that are running the show and creating all of these different experiences in our lives, some of which are like really painful. And so that's the reason why I love things like breathwork, because I'm never one to shame the mind. I think it's an incredible tool, but so often we're using it as a weapon against ourselves. And I've found in my experience, both personally and working through this with clients, is that we need to sink below the logical layer, because the logical layer has created a lot of the pain. And so things like breath work, things like movement, things like visualization, we kind of climb down this ladder from our head into our bodies and actually see what's down here. Like, there is a world down here that so often so many women, and this like breaks my heart, and I know this experience, like, we're terrified of the hell down here. And that's why we're all walking around numb most of the time. And I also like to really honor the fact that getting comfortable feeling emotions after so many years of emotional freeze is delicate work. It's a thaw. It takes time. And so that's why I love tools like visualization and breath work. But I also think it's really important for us to get to know our systems and what we're available for, and really being gentle with it. We can't just blast through healing in a linear way. We can't. It's the softening of extremes, and we have to honor that. And I think that, and I'd be curious your experience of this, I think that's a lesson that so many women who are hell-bent on being perfect are dying to learn: the gentleness and the softness of just being in your body. But that's a tough lesson to learn.
And one you have to keep reminding yourself. I'm laughing
because
this past few weeks I've been having to remind myself that lot. And like my cycle is super regular. And I got my period 5 days early this month, which is fine. But leading up to that, I realized, I was in a lot of stress, and I was pretty chronic fight or flight for like 2 or 3 weeks straight. Due to things, yes, I probably could have handled it better, but due to day-to-day work things. And I'm like, all right, Lauren, here's your body showing you the way. What was your self-talk like this past week? And I go, it was not good. And that's okay. And some days I show up better than others, but it's that realization and owning that and being soft with yourself and realizing that it's okay that your body might not feel good or your outside world might not feel good, but it's what you tell yourself up here is what really, really matters. And I know we agree on this on the same page, is creates your own reality. You know, how do you want to live? It might be kind of shitty right now, but doing the work with tools like breath work and, you know, really breaking through the barrier, if you will, of those limiting beliefs that are keeping you in that, you know, I tell myself all the time, it's like, sometimes you feel like you're in this abusive emotional relationship with yourself, mm-hmm. you know, being in that an external relationship, that's what taught me like, oh, how did I really manifest this? Oh, maybe I should start looking how I start talking to myself. And when you catch yourself and you work with somebody like Iona to kind of not only identify, but move through. And it's about feeling everything that you've suppressed and working through and doing that shadow work. But it's also about like finding yourself, right? And finding what you love and loving yourself as you are. And I just think this work is just so beautiful. And I would love to hear, like, I know you touched on points of it, but your signature method is the black light method. Could you kind of give us a synopsis of how you help clients with that, what that is? I know we've kind of been touching points leading up to this point.
Yeah, sure. There was one thing that I would love to touch on just about what you said about self-love. It's like, what even is that? when we're coming from an experience of really, like you said, being our worst boss, our worst friend, how do we enter into any kind of kind, never mind loving, just like basic human decency relationship with ourselves? I always use the visual of a baby on the floor. Like, the baby's on the floor crying. The baby's you. You're also the parent. How do you act? Do you kick this baby? Tell it it's terrible? Refuse to feed it? Leave it there? Open the door so that it gets cold? Like, this is the way that we treat ourselves often. And that's why I love, and this kind of flows into the black light method, like anything related to kindness, where we can sort of access a younger version of us, or something that's easy to have compassionate for. It's like my traumatized cats. It's like, you know, this cat can't even be held. I can't even hold myself. Like, what's the first step towards me picking this baby up on the floor and treating it like it's a precious object? That's the first step towards any of this. It's just human decency first, before we even get to kindness, before we even get to self-love. And I always like to bring that up because I think that just love yourself, like, just be like, all, and you know, it's like, it's toxic, because how it's like trying to cross from one side of a river to another with no bridge, and there's like crocodiles and sharks in the water. We have to take these small steps and build that bridge with ourselves gently, and just acknowledge that we're not going to get over to the other side immediately, but the patience every day we start to build that bridge with ourselves. And that's really a huge part of the work that I support my clients with. I call it the black light method because I love the idea of basically shining light on what we can't see. And using tools like breathwork and visualization and our own imagination and creativity to access healing for ourselves, to access and pay attention and get into relationship and communication with all the stuff below the surface that has been unseen, unacknowledged, untended to for so long. And like through, again, the lens of body worth and power. So that's it in a nutshell. And it's kind of, I talk through some of the elements of it in Ghost as well, but so much of the experience that I see in my clients is this stuff that hides in plain sight, both like as women in the world, hiding in plain sight, apparently glittering, apparently having all functioning very highly. And what are we missing? Because we can't even look ourselves in the mirror. We can't even see ourselves. We don't even know who we are. I think this experience of being both highly visible and in our achievements and invisible in the way that we feel is such a complicated one, but there's hope. Like, there's so much hope in it. There's so much beauty in it. I also think this work can be fun and playful as well. And I think I'm curious your experience of this. I've been talking a lot about creativity and imagination. That's something that was lost to me when I was in my perfectionist mode, the space to just enjoy or explore. I didn't even know what I liked. I didn't even know what I liked at any age, because I was like, well, so it just has to be an A. I don't care if I don't like this, because it just has to be an A. So many high-achieving women have no idea what they even enjoy, because our standard isn't enjoyment, it's perfection. And so much of this work for me has been learning, what do I enjoy? What do I like doing? What even tastes good? I have no idea. And I think this is true for so many women who on the surface look like they have it all.
Oh yeah. I was just gonna, like, I was thinking of my next question. It was exactly along those lines. Was, I didn't even know what I wanted. Like, I knew I was just didn't like where I was at. I wasn't happy. Like I was reading books on like quarter life crisis, because I was in like early mid 20s when this kind of, like, yeah. I started exploring this, and yeah, it was really hard for me to, I was like, oh my God, well, how do I want to feel? Like, let alone what do I like? How do I want to feel? And I'm like, okay, well, not angry, not sad. Like, you know, I was like at that level, people. And for me, I started to get creative and do fun things. And, you know, I went to health coaching school, and eventually became a yoga teacher certified, and doing all these things, but they were like creative. But then I started to realize a lot of those things were because they were creative for a purpose, for my career, for making money. And then I was like, whoa, hold on, Tonto, like, pull back. And I actually don't even teach yoga, because I had a conversation in my head during teacher training. Actually, I was in Belize. I was like, you know what, Lauren, just because you love doing something does not mean you need to teach it. You need to master it. You need to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
totally. Yeah.
Why can't you just practice because you love to practice?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge epiphany for me. Yeah. So I could totally relate.
Yeah. I think that's, I think, I'm curious if this feels true for you. I found that the most extreme expressions of how trying to be perfect manifested in my life, specifically with my warmth in a body and also with a lot of overworking, I healed those. Like, we got into good, like, better relationship and balance with those. But then the core belief is still not entirely healed. And so it comes back, like, it comes to the surface, but it's in slightly more subtle ways. So it's like, oh yeah, like, I'm going to master yoga and then teach it and be a renowned teacher. And it's like, and you're right. It's like, what's the motivation there? It's like, oh, you want to be good. Oh, okay. So we're now just being good, but in a slightly more enlightened or quote healthy, whatever that means, way. And I find that in my life often. Like, I'm like, oh, I see. We're still working through this story of, am I safe to be imperfect in this world? I find myself getting a little too good at my hobbies often. And so then I really try my best to just keep them as hobbies. One of the easiest things I did that was fun, felt completely right, and was not in any way useful was dyeing my hair pink. In like month three of my like quote healing journey, I was like, I want pink hair. And I've kept it ever since, because it just feels, maybe it's a bit faded at the moment, but it just feels like so great and so me and so silly, and not something that, it's actually a great practice in imperfection, because I almost always have roots. But yeah, it's like silly little ways where the old stories still show up, and you're right, noticing them and just almost like, I don't know, I laugh at myself. I'm like, we're still here? Okay, that's cute.
Oh, totally. And I don't really do specific health coaching anymore. But when I did, when helping people work through cravings, or, you know, wanting to eat that donut or that cupcake, I would always say, and I do this to myself, if I want to have it, I'm going to eat it. But when I eat it, I'm going to fully eat it. I'm going to be like funny with it, like so ridiculous. I'm going to moan and say, like, I am the best cupcake eater in the world. Because then I take a few bites, and most of the time, I might eat it all, and that's okay. Or I might only eat one instead of all of them. But you break yourself out of that cycle of like, I need this to make me feel better, instead of I'm eating this to enjoy it, or, you know, to be present and fully and experience pleasure. Because I think a lot, like, let's talk about pleasure, because I think that for perfectionist, experiencing pleasure and being present and not having a purpose, like we kind of spoke of, is scary. There's that self-worth thing, or that power maybe for some people of, you know, I know a lot of women, it's like standing in your power as a woman, like you numb out in your whole body, but especially experiencing pleasure, even sexually, you numb out from the head down. Mm-hmm. And that's like, that's next level stuff, I think, getting into this. But I've noticed a very frequent trend in any type of pleasure, which is what we were talking about before. But I think it's just the ability to stay present, at least for me. And I would love to hear what your thoughts are about experiencing pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think that, like, pleasure in any context is a danger zone when your identity is rooted in control. Like, I never really liked to think, I didn't think I was a controlling person. But I look at every single aspect of the way that I used to live, and it was tightly managed. Like, it was either organized, or it was like down to the number in terms of tracking, or it was efficient in how it was being executed. And if fun or pleasure was had, it had to be compensated for. And I think that so often we feel like we have to earn it, or we can't, like you said, we can't even allow ourselves to be present for it, because there's that feeling of letting go. Like, something that I talk about a lot in like my journey of healing was actually learning how to be able to drink alcohol and really enjoy it. Because for so many people, like, I feel like a lot of people who maybe struggle with alcohol, they're like, oh, I need to cut out and then I'll feel better. For me, it was like learning how to enjoy being drunk and trusting. Not like that I go out and get wasted, because it's never been my style, but like, I'm able to have a couple of drinks, enjoy it, experience like that kind of pleasure, slight lack of control, and trust that I'm safe. It's like that trust in our bodies and in ourselves generalizes, like, in what we do for work, in what we eat, in how we have sex, in how we relate to other people or use our voices. It's all trust that we're safe. And again, it comes back to like the core feeling, as opposed to the individual expressions. We're feeling safe in our bodies. We're open. We're not having to control things. And I think that that allows us to be a lot more open for pleasure in whatever form it's taking.
Amen. And I know, I mean, so many things have helped me, but breath work and meditation. Meditation is still, to this day, I will have life-altering meditation experiences. And then the next day, it's like I've never meditated in a day in my life, right? Sure. And your brain is just going and going and going. And it does not want to surrender. It has this thing or a million things it wants to keep cycling through. And I want to point this out. I talk about meditation all the time on here, but the magical, mystical energy moving through your body meditations are just as powerful as when you are committed to doing the work, either meditation or through anything, and you keep showing up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Despite how your body or your mind or whatever is reacting. And I have found there's magic, and I call it, you know, tough self-love, of actually reparenting yourself, that you keep showing up. You know, my mom would always make sure I got my homework done. I would eat my veggies at dinner, things that, you know, little I didn't necessarily want to do, but I needed to. It made me a better person. And for me, meditation and the healing journey through keep showing up for myself, it's almost like I could dip my toe a little bit more in that pool or that water of surrender, of that trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I think I would call it the practice of becoming you, like with the practice of becoming me. I think it can be a delicate balance when you're coming from the rigidity and control to being able to flow in more of like a practice, ritual, whatever you want to call it, way. But I'm not a big advocate for I must do this every day, but I'm a big advocate for allocated time and space. And when it's, especially if it's at a consistent time each day, because the ritual, the practice builds on itself. And so you're not so much resting on willpower and muscle, you're resting on the practice. And so I'm not the same every day. Some days I love to go for a run, some days I don't, some days I like to journal, some days I'll just go for a really long walk with my dog. It doesn't really matter. The space is mine. The time is mine. I think that also, like, there's lots of people in the world who don't, like, I'm pretty young. I work for myself. I don't have children. So I wake up early and I have time in the morning. I can be pretty leisurely with it. And that's not always the case for other folks. And I hate when I see, like, here is your morning routine and this is what you should be doing, and make sure you set aside 2 hours. Like, we're in the real world. I'm always about that. It's like, we're healing in the real world in real time. So what can you allow yourself to have every day and make it repeatable? And whatever you do in that time and space, go for it. Like, do whatever you want, but consistently show up. Like you said, consistently show up for yourself. And also, I'm also hugely into, this work is not done always in, like, set aside time and spaces. It's in the moment. It's in the moment where you perhaps, I don't know, in your relationship, say, like, actually this time I'm going to set a boundary here. I'm actually going to say how I feel. Or I'm going to, in this work meeting, I'm not going to allow them to talk over me. And I'm going to share my opinion and share it with authority and just let it sit in the room. These are healing moments, just as much as sitting in meditation and being with yourself are healing moments. It's all it. The practice of becoming, it all counts. Like, you can't lose. You can only learn. And there's so many moments. It's not like a 2-hour morning routine. It's in the moments that matter in your life, in your relationships, in the way that you talk to yourself, in the way you pick yourself back up off the floor if you're not feeling good. This is all the work. We can all do that. But you're right. It's like reparenting.
100%. And thank you for mentioning that too, because, yeah, the rigidity of I must do X, Y, Z to, no. And for all those people out there, I feel you, because my morning routine changes, but once we had our first fur baby in September, had her for about 6 months, and she needs to go for like 2.5 mile walk and the dog park in the morning. So our routines have gotten flipped a little bit upside down, and we're still trying to figure that out. And you know, the realization is I usually can't do everything that I used to like to do. So, mm-hmm. you know, I get to do an abridged version of some mm-hmm. of the stuff every day, and that's okay. And I've had to learn, like, all right, that's it. That's all we get today. And that will be enough.
Yeah.
And that it's been a beautiful growing lesson. It's, keeping me showing up for myself in more ways. And I've actually started to wake up earlier because I want to, I need more space for myself, and that's okay too. You know, it took me a long time to get there, and I cycle in and out of it. But that space for myself, setting aside just for me to do whatever I want, whether it's meditation, reading, journaling, moving my body in any way. It's beautiful. And I start to crave it. That's like, yes, I do like watching a movie or Netflix every once in a while, but I much rather do that than watch TV or social mm-hmm. media. And it helps me set myself up for the day and become more aware of, like you said, in those moments and in the work meeting when I need to set a boundary with my partner, to have that cognition. But equally for me, when I go to bed, I like to take a few minutes, whether it's just before I fall asleep in my head, if I can get a few minute meditation, or if I journal, just even if it's 30 seconds, where did I, you know, do really well today?
Mm-hmm.
What can I be proud of? Even if it's the smallest little thing, where can I be proud of? And where did I maybe get stuck in my head? Where did I fall off track? And if I had an opportunity to do it again tomorrow, because I will ultimately fall off track again, how am I going to catch myself? Was there something physical that, you know, I started feeling anxious and my hands started tingling, my face became numb? You know, what were the physical signs? You know, how can I show up better? It's with non-judgment, non-emotion, because it's a trick. You can really judge yourself with this, but I found if you do it correctly and you say, you know, I want to keep growing. I want to hold myself accountable because I like feeling good. And when I can shine light on where I fell off track, I can love myself more through this reparenting kind of framework.
Mm-hmm.
That's really powerful for me. And I find so many people that building that self-awareness muscle really helps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's so much power in being able to observe your experience as neutrally as you can, like you said, and learn from it. And again, it's practice, imperfect. Sure, I still judge myself often, but like the general theme is like take a step back, watch it like it's a movie. Like what's going on? Yeah, perhaps where was I not ideal? What can I learn from this? I also love what you said about small wins. I think we're so under-practiced in celebrating ourselves, because even if you're coming from any kind of background of perfectionism, where it's around your body or your work, there's never an arrival. There's never a true achievement because there's only a shifted goalpost. And so the celebrations are always hollow, or we don't even allow ourselves to have them. And so I always, like day one with my clients, I'm like, you are celebrating the smallest thing, because this muscle needs to be built, because you have no idea what that even means. And even if you're celebrating just sending me a message saying I'm sending a message, that's worthy of a celebration. Or if it's I went to bed at a reasonable time and brushed my teeth, like that's a celebration. We're so under practiced in acknowledging ourselves. And so that's a skill like any other. And I always say, like, start small, grow tall. You have to start with the smallest things and celebrate them wildly. Like we're desperate. we we're desperate for that acknowledgement from ourselves. And only we can really give it to ourselves. That's the other thing. Like, we're so used to using other people to fill our holes. And it's not that we can't heal with the support of others. Like, if you've got a partner who's supportive, if you've got friends, that's all wonderful. We really have to get practiced in filling our own holes, meeting our own needs, acknowledging ourselves. It lands differently when it's our own acknowledgement. And so often that's just a vastly underdeveloped skill.
Oh yeah. I love, like, and even though I try and do that every day, I'm always gently reminded by my partner. He's like, can we just take a second and realize, like, X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's always great to acknowledge yourself and build that muscle. And I love what you said. And another phrase that I always say to myself, even during the middle of the day, when I'm starting to go off track or I'm way off track, bird's eye view, mm-hmm. you know, not only about the situation, but emotionally, you know, I'm going to feel where I am right now. Why am I feeling this way? All right, let's look at this bird's eye view. What's the bigger situation at hand? Do I need to react right now? Can, you know, X, Y, Z, just bird's eye view helps in so many situations.
Totally. Yeah. Secret weapon.
The secret weapon. Oh my gosh. And I didn't come up with it, but, you know, I kept hearing it. Like, my friends were saying it, or I'd have coaches say it to me. And then my partner was like, okay, well, how, I was trying to explain basically what we just talked about on a walk to my partner for my own business. And he was like, well, how would you explain that to a kid? How would you explain it to a 10-year-old? And I was like, just explain what bird's eye view means. And it's really that simple. Because I think when we get in that perfectionist mindset, it's this very narrow tunnel, linear vision, like you talked about, right? Instead of taking a step back and relaxing and enjoying
it. Yeah, we're enmeshed. Yeah. We're enmeshed in it. And anything we can do to create a little bit of separation between what's going on and how we're interpreting it just allows a bit of space and perhaps a bit of compassion if we can muster it for ourselves. But yeah, anything that can allow a little bit of distance, bird's eye view, watch a movie, whatever works for you, that sort of power of observation, being able to witness yourself in your life and just try to notice what's going on. It's such a powerful tool.
I'm so happy you came on the show today. We are out of time. Was there anything else you wanted to cover or wrap up before we close out the show today?
No, I think this was great. I think we said it all.
Well, thank you, Iona. I had such a wonderful time meeting a fellow, as I endearingly call, recovering perfectionist. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom and tools with us today. But also thank you for showing up for you and helping so many beautiful people on their own journeys. And we end every single show here on Witchy Wellness Radio asking, how may we, as an act of service, be of service for you today?
Sure. Well, if it so takes your fancy, go and check out Ghost by Perfect Woman Shrink on Amazon. And if you want a little sugar before you do, you can go to ionaholloway.com/gifts. And I have a free chapter of Ghost there. I have a free reading guide for the book. And I just want women to witness themselves, to stop shrinking, to understand we're allowed to be human in this world. And this book is a reflection of that. So I'd be honored if you picked up a copy. That would mean the world to me.
Mm-mm. I'm sure after this episode, I'm not sure who wouldn't after listening to all of this, but thank you again, Iona, for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Lauren. It's wonderful.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.